Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Oh yeah, the Weekend Report is on your radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tony Colombo here with a packed studio. My partner Chris Arps, of course.
3 weekends in a row.
I know, we're setting a record here. We're both doing our own show. We're both doing our jobs for 3 weeks in a row.
Beautiful.
It's shocking. Carl Middleman, our producer, is here, of course, as well.
Taskmaster.
And joining us for this entire first hour, our friend Virginia Cruda from The Daily Caller has been nice enough to come in and help us out. Thank you. Great to see you.
You too.
So we have a busy week to talk about. We had a lot of stuff going on. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to have Virginia come in to help us break all this stuff down. I guess we should just dive right in. Well, first of all, let's talk about coming up in the second hour. We will play the Weird News Challenge, as we do every week. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk to Grover Norquist, which I am very much looking forward to. I want to get his thoughts and opinions, particularly on the presidential race and his idea of some of these candidates that are running on the Democratic side. He has been recently very outspoken against some of them. For example, Elizabeth Warren and her tax plans, and Bernie Sanders and his idea of wealth redistribution. So can't wait to talk to Grover Norquist about that stuff. So keep it here for that in the second hour. This whole first hour, though, we are going to kind of break down everything that happened this week, not just with the impeachment hearings, because there were other things that happened as well. But we will we'll start with the impeachment hearings. Virginia, what was your just without getting into the details of specific interactions, just your overall reaction to what we saw this week on Capitol Hill?
I think if you look at like the 30,000-foot view of the hearings between, was it Wednesday and Friday that hearings were held, I think that we've made it clear that Chairman Schiff has no intention of making the hearings fair, whether they're public or not. And we've learned from Yovanovitch on Friday that people who get fired don't like it.
Right.
That's really the takeaway, because they're not changing any minds. They're not convincing anybody that something happened that didn't. We realized this week that we are going forward with the impeachment of a sitting president based on a game of telephone being played by a group of 12-year-old girls at a slumber party who overheard a phone call between two guys that all of them hate.
Right.
That's what's going on here.
Yeah. I've been fired before, and I've had issues with a boss that I didn't like before, and it has made me emotional and has made me angry. And that's what we were looking at with her, and especially in the first part of her testimony on Friday. And I get it. You're mad. You got fired. But that doesn't prove anything.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with Virginia's assessment. I think Wednesday was the old song, I heard it from a friend, from a friend.
Oh.
And then on Friday, it was a nationally televised EEOC complaint where someone didn't like being fired, and the Constitution says that the president has every right. That person serves at the president's pleasure. I think what we also saw in these hearings, especially on Friday, is this is morphing away from what President Trump did on a phone call. And now they're talking about bribery. They're talking about witness intimidation because the president tweeted a response to this woman while she was testifying, and Adam Schiff read that into the record on Friday. So now it's morphing into witness intimidation, bribery, and extortion, the same way that the Mueller investigation was originally something and morphed into other other things.
Well,
so I think this was a disaster for them. It was not the smoking gun
right.
big thing that was going to get the public paying attention to this. I think it was a dud.
Yeah.
Chris Wallace let something interesting slip on.
You gonna talk about the poll? The Democratic poll?
Yeah.
I was just
the internal Democratic
yes.
poll where they
this
decided,
is amazing.
Yeah, I heard that.
They decided that they actually did a focus group like you would if you know an advertising agency mm-hmm. or what have they did a focus group to determine what was going to have the biggest emotional impact on the American public, whether it be quid pro quo or extortion or bribery. Turns out bribery won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of the sudden, look at all the Democratic talking
points.
They are now talking about bribery. They're not
yeah.
talking about quid
yeah.
pro quo.
They asked the group, which term sounds worse?
Mm-hmm.
Quid pro quo,
yeah.
extortion, bribery. And bribery won the poll.
Yeah.
So that's now the word. That's why you've been hearing them stick with the word bribery. That is, I mean, I know politics are gross.
Oh. And I
that is freaking gross.
And I posted last Sunday after watching Meet the Press. One of the journalists said that the reason that they feel this is not resonating with the public because the public is too stupid to understand what quid pro quo means, so that they think extortion is more believable or bribery.
Right.
And so now we see this poll come out. So, you know, they've been exposed.
I want to talk about that first day for a second. That first day was Wednesday. Was
root canals are more entertaining.
Oh my god!
I'm just saying.
Oh my god! But like,
no, there
how
were moments? But
for no, of course, yeah, there were moments. But 6-7 hours of these two guys, one of which I don't think understood why he was there or what was going on, and Who thinks anybody's minds were changed by
right.
what they watched
no,
on Capitol Hill?
Not one.
Not one.
I've been watching stuff.
Well, I will take that back. If you were actually watching these hearings with an open mind and you didn't know which party you were going to side with, I mean, there are a lot of people talking about that this could have Republicans are pushing for a trial now because this could be their 2020 Kavanaugh moment. Because if you look at what happened in the Senate after the public saw the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah.
It is almost unheard of for a president to gain seats in either house at a midterm election like that.
Right.
The last time it happened was George W. Bush, and that was after 9/11.
Right.
And people were, you know, you rally.
Right.
But so it was, but he didn't just maintain his majority in the Senate, he gained.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people talk, well, he lost the House. Okay, he lost the House. Most presidents do in the midterm. Most presidents lose at least some seats, whether they lose control or not.
Right.
And if you want to compare it, let's look at the shellacking Obama took in 2010 and 2014. And it's not even close.
Oh, yeah. Look at the lost seats just throughout
Obama's. So if that was just after Kavanaugh, can you imagine if they pull that again and it has the same type of impact?
Yeah.
The reality is the average person, I mean, we talk about this all the time because this is what we think about. You know, this is our job. This is what we do. But there are a lot of people who don't have any idea who the Ukrainian ambassador was or is and don't care.
Right. Right.
And they hear her and all they hear is, yeah, she got fired. All right.
You know, get back to the hearings.
Amen.
I have never watched, and I've been watching these hearings a long time, I've never seen anyone give a 30 to 45 minute opening statement. That was a snooze fest. And I tell you, the one thing I learned the most.
That was the new rule, right?
Yeah.
I
guess it was bizarre because I've never seen anything that long. You're not going to hold someone's attention that long. And the one thing that I learned
I don't need to know that your uncle served in Vietnam and your granddaddy served
right.
in World War I. Like, the whole 45-minute bio was completely irrelevant.
Yeah,
but
the thing that I learned the most from the testimony from the cross-examination was that the DNC and the Hillary campaign were conspiring with the Ukrainian embassy officials in the United States and parliamentarians to dig up dirt on Trump. And I didn't just take their word for it from the testimony. I looked it up myself, and incredible in sources like thehill.com mentioned this.
Yeah.
There's like three stories where these people were, and
well,
these are Ukrainian.
We've been talking about this for
these are Ukrainian embassy officials that are testifying saying this happened, and you all the media says is these are debunked media theories and won't cover it. It's just it's shocking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, what's interesting about the bio is that you know, Adam Schiff brought it up. He gave the history saying this is how long they've served honorably, et cetera, et cetera. Well, how long ago was it when acting DNI Joseph McGuire was in the same testimony and Schiff essentially called him a criminal?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he served as, you know, what, 17 years as a Navy SEAL and then longer as a SEAL commander.
They don't like the flip test.
Know, all of the sudden, it's cool to, you know, wait, when is it okay to attack people, you know, with military service? You know, these same people, it's like with John McCain, the same people who hated him in 2008 suddenly loved him, and you can't malign him because he's a hero. Okay, I agree. He's a military hero. That doesn't mean he can't do anything wrong.
Right.
And the same applies to every single one of these people in these hearings. So what point and purpose are we hearing their life story?
Right. What about the tweet that the president sent out on Friday in the middle of the testimony of Yovanovitch?
He's not watching, you see.
Well, here's... Yeah.
He wasn't watching on Wednesday. Apparently he was watching on Friday.
Well,
if he says he wasn't, he's lying.
He might have been watching. He also might... Because I don't know... I would say that the tweets that he sent didn't actually have any relevance to the hearing. They were directed specifically at her.
I don't think he quoted anything. I wasn't surprised by the Democrat reaction,
no.
But I was surprised by, I mean, there was a lot of conservative pundits reacting to that tweet that it was the biggest mistake the president could have possibly made.
Well,
it might have been a misstep, but
it's
Chris, explain to me.
He's tripping over himself when he doesn't actually have to walk anywhere.
Right. Right.
I think
the
tweet was ill-advised because it gave evidence or ammunition to what their main charge now is. One of the charges that they're going to try to use for impeachment is intimidation of a witness.
Right.
And to them, this shows that. But to me, I think it was ill-advised doing the tweet.
But nobody's buying
that, are they? Yeah. No, I don't think so. But
how
I mean,
is he intimidating the witness? She was in a closed hearing, and she wouldn't have even seen it
truth doesn't matter.
But what they're looking for, they're looking for a charge, an impeachment charge. So that's one of the charges that they'll say that during this hearing, the president is watching and he's tweeting and he's intimidating her. So this is charge one. That's all it is. It's showbiz. They're looking for a charge.
Right. But I was just surprised by, again, not the Democratic reaction, but people like John Roberts on Fox were saying this was he was acting like it was the most unbelievable, terrible, worst decision this president. I think he literally said it was the worst decision he's ever made.
Yeah, and I think what they're forgetting is that
I just don't understand why it's at that level.
Well, I think what they're forgetting is that in the next couple of hours, the Republicans are going to have a chance to cross-examine her and refute a lot of what she's saying. So just to take it face value, oh, God, this is horrible. I mean, it was ill-advised. He shouldn't have tweeted.
No doubt.
It was stupid.
No doubt.
And like I said,
he does a lot of those things.
And they're looking to make that as a charge. But
right.
I think if you really weigh that in public opinion and people look at it, they'll say that's not witness intimidation.
Yeah, I just
but
thought
it wasn't
the reaction
the correct thing
to it was not in line. I thought the reaction was much bigger than it should have been.
Well, it usually is. I mean, this is...
Well, again, I know. I understand the left's reaction didn't surprise me at all,
sides,
but both sides.
It's been... The temptation is... And especially when you have everybody's under a microscope, it's one of those, you know, if I don't call a couple of strikes against the president, then I'm going to look like I'm in the tank and... So I think there are a few people who are saying, okay, maybe this was dumb. We're just going to concede this point because then...
He tweets a lot of things that are dumb.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think he does. And if he could just get out of
just
his
another,
own way...
This is another example of a dumb, ill-advised, bad-timed tweet.
Right.
But I didn't think it rose to the level of the most shocking thing he's ever done in office or the most damaging thing he's ever done, which is what some people were claiming. All right, we got to take a break. When we get back, we've got other things to talk about besides just impeachment. There was plenty going on this week. I want to dive into some other stories as we just continue our weekend review here on The Weekend Report. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Report 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo in studio with my partner Chris Harps, producer Carl Middleman, and Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller is sticking around for the entire first hour of today's show. First segment of the show was us discussing impeachment. We may get back into it a little bit later in the show. Who knows?
You might be tired of it by now.
But don't forget, if you miss anything on the show, if you want to hear our reaction and our sort of review of all the impeachment stuff this week, you can always download our podcast on the radio.com app. Radio.com app is free. You can get it on your phone, your tablet, anywhere else, and you can stream the station 24/7 from that app. You can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station, including The Weekend Report, on that app. And you can now take advantage of the Radio Rewind feature. Brand new, super cool feature on that app. Gives you a chance to rewind live radio. Just like you're watching television with your DVR at home and you see something and you want to see it again, you can just hit the rewind button and watch it again. Now you can do that with radio. You can rewind as far back as 24 hours. So very cool. If you're listening on the app right now, you could rewind and listen to us talk about impeachment
again.
Rewind
the tape.
That's right. So radio.com app, really the best way to listen to the radio station when you're not listening to your radio. I want to put a bow on impeachment before we move on. Last question. Virginia, you go first. Were any minds changed by what we saw this week? Are the Democrats making any progress in garnering more votes or getting people on their side?
That's two different questions. Okay. I'm not sure if I think it's more likely that minds were changed than it is that Democrats made any headway.
All right.
Because they also, in addition to holding the hearings this week and the, you know, and seeing what Adam Schiff was bringing to the table or preventing from being put on the table, there may be some people who are a little concerned, because I think a lot of the people, the independents, are the only people really in play here. And that's really, the independents are the only people who are ever in play, realistically, because you've got Republicans, you've got Democrats, and the people who are diehard on either side, they're not moving. Mm-hmm. But you've got these people in the middle, and when they see a hearing that's supposed to be balanced, and one side is constantly getting stepped on, and no, we're not going to recognize you. No, we're not going to allow you to call this witness. No, we're not going to let you talk. No, shut up. You know, if that's what's going on, they start to say, well, wait, maybe this isn't fair.
Right.
This isn't right. I'm not sure I can get on board with that. And that doesn't mean they're going to go and vote Republican, but they might not leave the House if they would have voted Democrat.
Right.
And so I don't I think, like I said, I think there's more likely that a few minds are going to be changed. But I don't think the Democrats are making headway, because in addition to this, they also put Nancy Pelosi in front of a mic a couple of days ago, and it was not pretty.
Yeah, we should get into that in a little bit. She went on her high horse again, and it's not attractive. But Chris,
I think the positions within the people have just cemented people that hate Trump, or this is going to bolster that. People that love Trump, it's going to bolster that. I think these hearings are more focused towards Senate Republicans to try to pick off some of them so that Nancy Pelosi can have some type of bipartisanship with this impeachment hearing, because it looks so one-sided. So I think it was more guided towards trying to pick off, hopefully for them, 20 Republicans that they'll sign on to this and get rid of the president. But overall, I don't think it changed any minds.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that I saw being pushed by a number of prominent liberals, among them, I don't know if you recall the Hollywood impeachment, like the they're working together to help bolster the impeachment effort. It was Alyssa Milano, Tom Arnold, and a handful of other people. Anyway, Alyssa Milano was tweeting the other day about how it was a disgrace that, you know, they brought Jim Jordan over and this is the best they've got. And of course, he ripped apart
Jim Jordan
the hearing on Wednesday.
You know what? The best thing that ever happened to Jim Jordan was Trey Gowdy retiring.
Right.
Because he was the second best person, Republican,
so
in all those hearings.
She was saying, oh, well, and this is the best you've got, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, first of all, yeah, he's pretty good.
Jim Jordan's awesome.
But beside that, you know, everybody was like, well, they only brought him over here because they don't have anybody better. No, they moved him to this committee because he'd been in the hearings, the closed door hearings that none of the other Republicans were allowed in.
Right.
And that was their only way to get somebody who could put context to this insanity.
Right.
And I think that's a stupid argument for Democrats to make when you're having your staff attorney question these witnesses instead of you doing it yourself.
Right,
You know, how are you going to talk about who's questioning? You're not even questioning these people.
Yeah.
Your attorney is doing
it. My opinion is the same as it was after Kavanaugh, the same as it was after Mueller. I know this isn't over yet, but there could be. Yeah, maybe there's some big piece of information out there that we haven't seen. I really doubt it. But nobody's minds are changing. If you believe that the president is corrupt, everything that you watch and hear this week just emboldens that opinion. And you point at, you know, the things that the Democrats are putting up there, and you say, see, he's committed these crimes and he's corrupt. And if you support the president, mm-hmm. or even if you don't support the president, but you don't support the Democrats, I think there's a lot of those people out there.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say there's a third option. Those that are objective can see that there is nothing.
And they just
that's what I mean.
And they don't change their minds.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think you could say that
I wouldn't
there
say all people in the middle are objective. They think they're objective.
I think
but
there are
I
a fair
wouldn't
number
say they're objective.
Number of people, though, who are so dyed in the wool, Democrat or Republican, that even if they think they're objective, they're not.
Right.
Yeah.
But I
said
I think
earlier
you're more
this
likely
week,
to find objective in the middle.
I said earlier this week, and Chris, you've been a part of many campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, you always talk about elections come down to the swing votes
mm-hmm.
and the moderates, the people in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That there's, you know,
and turnout.
You know, 40% of the country's on one side, 40% on the other. It's that 20% in the middle that you got to get to swing to your side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's very much of a middle anymore. I feel like there are less people in the middle. There are less swing votes than we've ever seen. Do you agree? And here's why I think that. The Democrats have pushed so far to one side that if you there's no more Democrat for a moderate to vote for. So you either have to make the jump to socialism or you pretty much have to stay in the middle and maybe hold your nose and vote for Republican because there's nobody serving that middle lane anymore on the Democratic side. I feel like there are less moderates, less swing votes than we've ever seen before. Do you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't, because if you look at the Democratic Party and you look at a lot of them involve unions, the unions support Democrats traditionally, but you look at the membership, a lot of the membership is moderate.
And a lot of union members are voting Republican.
Exactly.
Now.
I'm saying that's changing, but I wouldn't necessarily say that portion of the electorate you're talking about is shrinking. I think it's always there. I think those people go with the crowd that's winning. And if they see Democrats winning a cycle, they go with them. If they see Republicans winning a cycle, they go with them. I think they're that wishy-washy, and they've shown to be that over past elections.
I just don't see a person who is typically in the middle, who sometimes votes Republican, sometimes votes Democrat, but has pretty normal, like a union person mm-hmm. is a perfect example of that. That has, you know, some of their beliefs are on the left, some of their beliefs are on the right, and they can be kind of convinced either mm-hmm. way. When you look at Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and you go, well, I don't want 80% taxes. Yeah. I don't believe in free everything.
And the thing that killed.
And that means that person's no longer in the middle because they can't go. They're not going to go to that Democratic vote.
I don't think that changes. I don't think that the electorate has changed so much as the people running. So Yeah, they're still in the middle.
Well, the people in the
middle. And if there was an
option.
That's
a good point. It's the people running that have. That are the reason why I think
that
there's less people in the middle.
I think if they had a moderate option, they'd
totally
probably
agree.
I think if you run...
maybe that's a better way to say
what's
it.
What's his name from Virginia who ran for president briefly, Democrat, 2016, and then he walked off the stage like, this isn't my party anymore. Jim something.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I do.
But he said something about killing commies. On the debate stage,
right.
And people looked at him like...
Or the moderates that this year got booed in California for saying that they didn't believe in free education and Medicare.
Bernie, Elizabeth, and the Democrats talking about Medicare for all and taking away the union members' Democrat health care plan is going to be a loser and will continually be a loser. And that's part of the reason why they'll never vote for them. You're going to take away our hard-fought, as they say... Cadillac union healthcare benefit
they
plans.
They don't want the same
like,
healthcare plan
no.
that everybody else
right.
wants. They want the one that they were promised.
Right.
Even though no one else can afford to give it to them.
So, Chris, we talk to Karen Fessler in Iowa all the time. I can't wait to get her on the show.
Yeah, she's been sending me a text.
We need to get her back on the show very soon because a new poll came out of Iowa this week. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not, but it's been a long time since Joe Biden led in Iowa.
Yeah.
And it's been Elizabeth Warren's state for the last couple of months. Until now, Pete Buttigieg is leading in the polls in Iowa. Pete Buttigieg now has 22.
His favorability is huge.
Yeah, 22% of the vote in Iowa currently. Joe Biden has passed Liz and moved into second place with 19. Elizabeth Warren just behind with 18. Bernie Sanders with 13% of the vote. That, you know, of course, the Iowa caucus is the very first votes that are cast in the election next year, and then come the New Hampshire primaries, and Buttigieg is surging in New Hampshire as well. He is right in that front runner group in New Hampshire right now. It's Joe Biden with 20% in first, Elizabeth Warren with 16% in second, Buttigieg in third place with 15%, just one percentage point behind Warren, and then Bernie Sanders just one percentage point behind Buttigieg at 14%. Is Pete Buttigieg a fad, or is this the beginning of a long run in this? Can't end this race for Pete Buttigieg.
I think with Patrick Duvall getting to the race and Bloomberg getting to the race, this will show, does Pete Buttigieg have any type of long-term viability? The reason that he is surging...
Let me say,
the reason that he is surging is because he is staking out that middle of the road lane that Joe Biden was supposed to
have
done.
That we're talking about.
And
yep,
all that.
That we've been talking about.
Yep. And it's interesting because Patrick Duvall is a Wall Street guy, worked for Bain Capital. He's middle of the road. Bloomberg is supposed to be middle of the road. You wonder, once they get in the race, will they take away from Bloomberg a little bit?
Bloomberg used to be a Republican.
Yeah. And also, Bloomberg, a poll came out. I think it was Newsweek poll, I think, that Bloomberg is at 3% in the polls already. And he's passing all the bottom-tier Democrat candidates already. So I think those two, once they're in the race for a while, will show is Buttigieg's candidacy
Buttigieg
for real.
Buttigieg said that it's shaping up to be a one-on-one between him and Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Well, you know what I thought was
premature.
Really interesting? I read that poll. It came from Monmouth University, and which, you know, they poll all the way through and so we kind of report on them a lot. And what was interesting was the way it was written, because they talk about Pete Buttigieg made this massive surge and Joe Biden has dropped 7 points since August, and Bernie has, you know, gone up 2 points, and then Elizabeth Warren has only changed 2 percentage points since August.
They won't say the word
drop. No, she dropped.
They won't say the word drop.
She lost 2 percentage points because Buttigieg is gaining.
Isn't it funny how they pick and choose the words that they're going to use? Let's just go ahead and wrap right now, Carl. We're about a minute early, but that's okay because I want to have a little extra time in the next segment as we break down some more news stories. Got plenty more to talk about. We got one more segment of the first hour of the show. Then we have a whole second hour where we will talk to Grover Norquist. Can't wait for that. So
producing
don't go
on
anywhere.
The air. That's beautiful.
That's right.
I love
plenty
that.
More. Plenty more.
What a
weekend
professional.
Report to go. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Another
Welcome back to the Weekend Report. 97.1
FM
Talk. You hit it. You got it.
You got the side eye on it because you weren't looking at me directly.
So much going on.
Yeah.
He didn't see it. Did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. If I didn't see it, did it happen? It's a great question.
We can rewind the tape.
That is Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller.
This is audio, not video.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
My partner Chris Arps is in the studio. So is producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
I'm Tony Colombo.
Taskmaster.
Yeah, he's keeping it on track.
Yeah,
I know.
He is.
Time to go. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk to Grover Norquist, so keep it here for that. Virginia has been nice enough to stay for the entire first hour of the show today. Virginia, tell people how they can follow you on social media and check out your stuff on the Daily Caller.
Okay. You can find my work and lots of others at dailycaller.com, also at Daily Caller on Twitter, and you can follow me directly at VA Cruda.
Very good.
Spell Cruda.
I highly
K-R-U-T-A.
Recommend it. A lot of the stories that I talk about through the week on Annie's show or Dave's show or this show when she's not here are directly ripoffs from Virginia's stories. They are a wealth of information, and I highly recommend you
Second
check
Amendment
out
Radio's original?
The Daily Caller. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the original stuff? Second Amendment Radio?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the Great Outdoors.
And the Great Outdoors.
I'm missing shows. I'm trying to get all your shows in, Tony.
That's the name of the show now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Another big thing that happened this week was the Roger Stone was found. The trial wrapped up. He was found guilty on all counts.
Seven.
Virginia, I'm having a hard time with everything else happening in this week. There's so many stories to get to. It feels to me like Roger Stone is just kind of an afterthought. Is this a big deal?
It is in that he didn't really put up much of a defense.
Right.
He didn't testify.
You think the president's going to pardon
that's,
him?
That's kind of the scuttlebutt, is that he thinks that there's a pardon somewhere down the road, which is a big gamble.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he now doesn't want the president to win because then he can be pardoned on the last day.
Right. Right.
And get out four years earlier than he would otherwise.
And there is. I don't know. I don't know how much weight I would give that. I think that obviously it's a possibility. You never know with this president what he's going to do and what he's going to decide to do. I don't think that it's a last day of the presidency kind of thing. I think if Trump decides he's going to do it, he's just going to do it. I mean,
yeah,
he doesn't really.
That's a good point. That's how he works.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a political.
Right.
You know, behind this for the president, because I think he doesn't care as far as what people think of him, who he pardons. As to whether or not he will, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It really hinges on whether or not he believes Stone, and more importantly, whether or not he believes Stone flipped on him in any way.
Right.
My understanding seems to be that Roger Stone was convicted of lying, trying to acquire WikiLeaks information, but we don't necessarily know if he actually did receive it or pass it on to the Trump administration, which will probably be alleged. So it sounds like a process crime, the kind of crime that happens in Washington where you get convicted for lying about covering up the process when
it's a Michael
you just
Flynn
admit
thing.
It.
We're going to convict you for lying, but we wouldn't have even talked to you if we weren't trying to get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So Democrats will blow this up tomorrow on the Sunday shows.
So he probably did what they're saying that he did. But the reality is they went after him because they couldn't get the fish they wanted.
Yeah. Right.
And they'll try to tie this to the president's campaign received information emails.
They announced the people for the next Democratic debate coming up. It's going to drop from 12 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Castro didn't make the cut, and Beto O'Rourke is the one who dropped out and will no longer be on the stage. So those are the two that are gone. Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Tulsi Gabbard, Kamala Harris, Klobuchar, Sanders, Steyer, Elizabeth Warren, and Andrew Yang are the ones that are going to be on the stage.
I'm going to say once again, can we put Gabbard and Harris next to each other?
Please.
Because that, honestly, that's the two of them are the only reason that we noticed this. Tulsi Gabbard appears to wear the same white pantsuit just about every and here's the thing, she pulls it off. I mean, it's a nice suit for her.
She's my favorite Democrat.
Oh right,
she's my favorite Democrat.
I like how fearless she is. She was on The View a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if you heard what they said about her before she came on.
Not only did I hear it, I read your story, and I quoted you on the Dave Glover show.
It was crazy because she sat right next to Joy Behar and was like, some of y'all have been saying that I was a Russian asset and I was a Trojan horse and I was a blah, blah, blah.
Useful idiot.
And
looked right at Joy Behar and said, useful idiot is the term
you Joy Behar
used.
Says, well, that wasn't my term. That was the Russian term. But if you roll back the tape, Joy Behar says, well, I don't think she's a Russian asset, but I do think she's a useful idiot.
Right.
I mean, she said the words.
You said it much nicer than she did.
Oh, my goodness. And The View is killing me because did you watch Trump Jr.?
Was on the next day. And again, you could rewind the tape on Joy Behar when she said, that she didn't dress in blackface, but then you go back to...
And then Whoopi Goldberg saying that she didn't defend Roman Polanski, but she did.
Oh, yeah.
Rape.
Yeah, it's not rape is what she said.
Okay, well...
Whatever the world that means.
Statutory rape.
Right. Flip test that thing.
Yeah, well, there's that. And
imagine
then Sonny
if a Republican
Hostin,
said, well, it wasn't rape.
Oh, Sonny Hostin accused him of committing a federal crime on the show.
Right, like, right.
You outed the whistleblower. And he's like, first of all, no, I didn't, because I retweeted somebody who already did.
Right.
And second of all, it's not a federal crime unless you happen to be the whistleblower's employer, which is true. And Sonny Hostin's like, well, my law degree begs to differ. Okay, well, your law degree's wrong then. And, well, I mean, if you watch the show, it's pretty obvious that that's the case. But
right.
But... Oh, and Trump Jr. wished Whoopi Goldberg a happy birthday on Thursday, and it was incredible.
That's awesome.
He's like, send my regards to your fugitive friend.
Right.
And you're welcome for the best ratings you've had in 6 months.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you should have
people The View had a good week. I don't know why people feel like The View is a relevant show. The View is made relevant because all these people that go on there, I don't understand why it is so... why it's such a flamethrower?
Well,
why it's such a big deal?
I
just
watch
let
it
rot.
For if you read my bio on the Daily Caller page, it says I watch The View for the articles because it's just it's every
it's
time
it's gold. I know
I
it
know.
Is. It is,
and it's fun in the sense that and some of it I was telling my husband the other day. Sometimes it's actually entertaining because Thursday was Whoopi Goldberg's birthday, and in addition to. You know, notwithstanding the tweet from Trump Jr., but they did a whole big birthday celebration for her. They had some of the cast of Ain't Too Proud, the Temptations Broadway musical.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. It was, you know, it was actually entertaining because, you know, Broadway musical casts are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
And they did this whole thing with her, and it was very, it got the audience involved, and it is entertaining at times. But man, when they start talking politics, it goes off the rails in about 15 seconds.
Right. My favorite Whoopi Goldberg character is Guinan from Star Trek.
forgot
you don't like Ghost? She won an Oscar for Ghost.
Yeah,
I liked Ghost too. I did.
We saw another tragic school shooting this week. I only bring that up because I want to highlight the Supreme Court decision that was made earlier in the week that we may see affecting this most recent school shooting and every other shooting that we see in the future. And that was when the Supreme Court ruled that the families of the Sandy Hook victims could proceed with a lawsuit against the gun maker that the shooter used in that terrible tragedy. So the Supreme Court is allowing the lawsuit to go to proceed against Remington, which is the gun maker that the Sandy Hook shooter used. To me, this is. We talked about this a little earlier on Second Amendment Radio.
Wasn't it over the advertising? Specifically that you were advertising that it made you manly,
So that was kind of the loophole that they used.
Well, the precedent is cigarette smoking, isn't it?
It's the same thing
that you can't advertise that it's cool or.
But it still, to me, creates a very slippery slope.
Oh, I have a problem with
Pandora's
the original
box. I mean. So technically, they're saying because of the way that Remington advertised that it was made attractive to somebody who may become a school shooter. I don't like it.
I think it's a slippery slope in terms of what any type of magazine or television advertising of a sports car, a fast car, to young people and someone gets killed in that? Is the car company responsible?
Somebody runs down
for
somebody
that now?
In a Chevy truck.
Yeah.
Sorry, Skip. I mean, can you sue Chevy at that point?
I'm hoping that the Supreme Court looked at this case and said, okay, we keep getting cases like this where people want to sue gun manufacturers. Maybe if we let a case go forward, hopefully the public will see how outrageous this is, and there's good attorneys that will blow this argument out of the water. But the scary thing about that is right across the river from us, Madison County is like the place that tort lawyers go to file cases. So I'm afraid of a case like that ending up in Madison, Illinois, and someone winning millions, and then that precedent is set.
Yeah, I live there.
I mean, we talk a lot about and we get frustrated about things like impeachment and all that. But, you know, this is one of those situations that this is really what the elections are about.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing that the elections really matter for. Supreme Court justices, rulings on things like this.
Chief reason I voted for Trump.
Yeah. You want to talk about this Harry Potter situation? Jeffrey Epstein.
3 minutes to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last week we talked about the ABC, the ABC anchor who had the Epstein story. But now Harry Potter has gotten involved in the Jeffrey Epstein suicide saga.
If we sum up really quickly, we've got the Amy Robach who is
the ABC anchor.
The ABC anchor. Her story apparently got scuttled, whether you believe the video or, you know, the stuff from Project Veritas. Apparently it was because they wanted to interview the royal family and they wouldn't if the Epstein story came out because it tagged
Prince Andrew
and the Clintons, and she had everything and she was upset that it was gone. And so now there's this video. Okay. Well, the ABC leaker after somebody was fired at CBS who used to work at ABC. Mm-hmm. The actual leaker sends a letter to Project Veritas and says, no, it was me. I still work at ABC, by the way. You didn't get me yet, basically. Mm-hmm. And explained why the original video was released and signed the letter ignotus. And so Page Six comes out with this thing about, well, maybe it's a millennial. They got some other information from other ABC insiders saying that the big studio heads are going crazy trying to find this person. They can't tell who it was.
And Ignotus is going to give them a clue.
Ignotus is a wizard in the Harry Potter universe, right? So they're like, okay, maybe it's a millennial, a Harry Potter fan. I don't know. Well, Ignotus is also Latin for unknown.
Right.
So maybe it's just somebody who did a little research before they...
And used a Latin word.
Right.
Who took Latin in high school?
That's the one person in this country who didn't need quid pro quo explained to them.
And there you go on how insane this media is right now. That we've got Harry Potter being brought up in the Jeffrey Epstein suicide story. I mean, hilarious. Thank you, Virginia. Thanks for coming in and being here with us for this entire first hour. If you missed anything, download that radio.com app and go and check it out. Whole second hour of the Weekend Report coming up. We'll play the Weird News Challenge with Trish Gazelle from 102.5, which has now gone officially Christmas. We'll talk about that. Coming up in the next segment, we've got Grover Norquist. Don't want to miss that. You're listening to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk.
Time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
It is the second hour of the Weekend Report on your radio. We appreciate you joining us. Tony Colombo here. My partner Chris Arps right there.
Yeah.
producer Carl Middleman in the studio as well. Another big thank you to Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller, who joined us in the first hour of the show. If you missed any of that first hour, download the radio.com app. Perfect way to keep up with the radio station anywhere that you are. You can stream the station 24/7 on the radio.com app. You can download all of the podcasts from all the different shows here on the station on the radio.com app. And you can now take advantage of the Radio Rewind feature on the radio.com app. Basically, if you're listening to live radio on the app, just like if you were watching live television at home and with a DVR, you can rewind. If you want to hear something again or if you want to go back, you can rewind as far back as 24 hours. So just a really cool feature, another cool feature there for you on the radio.com app. It's the best way to listen to the station if you're not listening on your actual radio. And joining us now, something that you definitely want to go back and rewind and listen to multiple times. As we mentioned last hour, joining us on the phone is Grover Norquist, famous political activist, tax reduction expert. And it is great to have Grover on the show for us, with us for the first time ever. Grover Norquist, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for thanks so much for your time today. Wanted to start with, I want to get your thoughts on, I know that recently you have spoken out against some of the tax plans that have been put forth by the some of these Democratic candidates. Some of the ideas that they have for our economy are very, very scary to me. But before we get into any details, just your overall 30,000-foot opinion of what we are seeing on the Democratic side as far as presidential candidates and going into 2020, and maybe how dangerous, you know, truly some of those plans could be for the country.
Absolutely. This election is going to be about what happens to your 401k and your individual retirement account. There are in the United States 100 million 401ks and about 40 million individual retirement accounts. Some people have more than one, or couples have a couple. But it's not the top 1%. It's, you know, roughly more than half of American adults are saving for their retirement. And every single idea that Elizabeth Warren or Biden or any of the Democrats running for president have will reduce the value of your 401k, make it more difficult for you to retire, make it more difficult for you to have the resources to take care of yourself and your family when you stop working. And the good news is that President Trump, his tax plans, but first of all, the tax cuts that he enacted with the Republicans in 2017, made your 401k worth more. You'll see a rather dramatic increase in the stock market and the value of all the things that go into a 401k or an individual retirement account. And that was because people, one, were afraid of what Hillary was going to do, so that the stock market was depressed. And as soon as the president won, it jumped up about 800 points, just because all the things Hillary was planning to do didn't happen. I think you'll see again, if the president wins re-election, the stock market will shoot up because it takes off the table the threat of all the things that a Democratic president would want to do. Right now, the president's talking about ending the taxation of inflation when you pay capital gains taxes. So if you put money into, you know, stocks into a 401k and then leave them there for 30 years, you shouldn't have to pay capital gains on the imaginary increase, the inflation increase. You'd only pay taxes on the real increase.
Ms. Norquist, I have to tell you, I had a chance to present at the famous Americans for Tax Reform Wednesday meeting about my group, Americans for Citizens Voting. And I have to tell you, first off, sir, you have found the fountain of youth because you've got about 10 years on me and you look very, very well. second, can you talk about Elizabeth Warren's Medicare for All plan? She says that that plan is going to cost $20 trillion over 10 years and will not raise taxes on the middle class. Can you explain to our audience how that is impossible?
Well, she says that she's got to raise taxes about $20 trillion over a decade to pay for it. That $20 trillion is $2 trillion a year. The entire federal budget right now is a little over $4 so you're looking at a 50% increase in your taxes. But she says she won't tax you. She's going to tax other people. The challenge with that in the $20 billion is so much money that the only way she can get much of it is there's a wage tax that your employer will collect. Now, if you're self-employed, you have to send it in. If you work for General Motors will take it out of your pay and send it to Washington. In her view, General Motors just paid your wage tax, okay? General Motors also takes your income taxes out now and sends it to Washington. But nobody's under the delusion that General Motors pays your income taxes. You pay your income taxes. General Motors just makes it easy for the government in picking the pockets of everybody who works for them, putting it in a big pile and sending it to Washington all at once. That's income tax withholding. They withhold your income. You don't get it, and it goes to Washington. She wants to argue that a wage tax is not paid by employees. It's paid somehow by your company, which, one, makes no sense, and, two, all economists will tell you that's exactly not even close to being true. So she has admitted that you will be paying the lion's share of this tax. Then she has a number of other taxes that she claims will raise a great deal of money. But when Europe had a wealth tax in 12 different countries, 9 of them have gotten rid of it. One of them, Spain, got rid of it, but then put it back in when the left-wing party came in because they wanted to, quote unquote, do something. So you're really looking at, in each of the European countries that had a wealth tax, they said, you know, it doesn't raise that money. It's terribly disruptive. It doesn't help. It's not doing what we thought it did. And the Socialist Party in England, the very left-wing Labour Party, they looked at a wealth tax and said, no point in trying this. It's not going to work. So she's counting on getting a bunch of money from a tax that the kind of countries she likes to look to and says we should be like, you know, Sweden. Sweden got rid of theirs because it didn't work. It didn't get the money they wanted, and it was bad for the economy. Sweden thought so. So it's, I think when you look at how European countries pay for Medicare for everyone, if, you know, if the government runs your health care and has a monopoly and the only person you can get health care from is the government, you've got, you know, Medicare for all by law, meaning you can't walk out the door and do something else, is that they dramatically increase taxes on the middle class. Taxes on rich people in Europe are not that much different than taxes on high-income people in the United States. But for Sweden, Denmark, the tax on the middle-income family, the income tax rate, the marginal income tax rate on the middle-income family is 10, 20, and in some cases 30% higher than in the United States on income taxes alone. And they have a 20% value-added tax, which is, you know, calculate what sales taxes in your state and locality. Well, the Europeans have a 20% value-added tax. It's a sales tax at every level of production, and it's on everything. It's not just on stuff you buy at a store.
Talking to the founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform, Grover Norquist. Mr. Norquist, as long as I can remember, it was a bad thing for politicians from either side to talk about raising taxes. Since I was a little kid, I knew that if a person running for president talked about raising taxes, it was gonna hurt them. Before I knew anything else about politics, I knew that a politician that wanted to raise taxes was a bad guy. Suddenly, now I'm an adult in my 40s with kids and in the media, and there are people running for president that want to raise taxes, and they're being, and that's a suddenly a positive to some people. How did we get here in America where we have people like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and others talking about how they want to raise taxes on some people as much as, you know, by 80%, and they're suddenly heroes? Why did this switch in America happen?
Well, what happened was there used to be politicians, right and left, who just raised taxes all the time. Eisenhower raised taxes, Nixon raised taxes. And then in 1994, the group I run, Americans for Tax Reform, had been sharing a taxpayer protection pledge with all the people who run for Congress, Senate, President, governors, state legislators, and urged people to make a written commitment in public, witnessed by two people, put up on the internet so that everybody could see that a candidate for office had committed to vote against and oppose and vote against all efforts to raise taxes. We had about 95% of all the Republicans who ran in 1994. The Republicans swept the House and the Senate, and we have had 90% of the House and Senate Republicans having a written commitment that they've kept since 94. You may remember in 92, Bush promised not to raise taxes, but he broke his word. And then he lost the presidency. And that's when the pledge became effective, because people said, oh, this is not just another promise that you can break. It is, in fact, if you do break this, people will remember, it's written down, and your opponents in a primary or a general will take you to task. Bush was a fairly successful president, ended the Cold War, won the Cold War, all that good stuff. One problem, raise taxes, boom, thrown out. And politicians on the Republican side said, I don't want that to happen. So the Republican Party has been the party that will not vote for a tax increase. They may invade small countries they can't pronounce, but they won't raise taxes. And the Democrats are the party that as soon as they get into office, the first thing they do is raise taxes. First 2 years of Clinton, Democrat House, Senate, Clinton, no Republican control of any body of power in Washington, they raise taxes. Then Obama gets in. And then they lose the House and the Senate, by the way, after they raise taxes.
Right, right.
The American people didn't want that. The Democrats wanted that. Then Obama gets elected. First 2 years, he has Democratic House, Democratic Senate, raises taxes, boom, loses the House, loses most of the Senate majority, and eventually the whole Senate. And Republicans have learned that you do not raise taxes. And if you don't raise taxes, you can begin to have a conversation of reforming government. If taxes remain as an option on the table, you never have a conversation. Never mind get it done. You don't even have a conversation about reforming government to cost less. So step one, don't raise taxes. Step two, begin conversation about how you reform government to cost less. Three, win enough seats to actually get that done.
Mm-hmm. That is Grover Norquist, of course, the founder and president of Americans for Tax Reform. ATR.org is that website. Is there anything else before we let you go, Grover, can people follow you on social media, hear more about what you have to say about this presidential election and websites, social media, anything like that?
Sure. ATR.org is the website for Americans for Tax Reform, ATR.org. We have all of the analysis, and I tweet it at Grover Norquist.
Very good, and I hope that we can have you back on the show real soon as we dive into this, what will be a crazy election year. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. Norquist.
You got it.
All right. Take care. Was Grover Norquist on the Weekend Report. We are going to take a quick break. We still have Trish Gazelle from 102.5, the Weird News Challenge coming up. And our buddy Brian Eggers is going to be here in a minute as well. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. To the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk.
Those aren't the words.
Wow, wow.
You know, Chris plays the air guitar, and I do the wah-wahs.
Wah-wah.
Yeah, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's how it goes. Big thank you again to Grover Norquist for coming on with us. Great information from Grover. Really enlightening to hear him talk about the dangers of high taxes and plans like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have for this country. And if they are elected president, how bad that could be for all of us.
Grover's organization wields a lot of power. Candidates from local to the national level go to his organization and sign that no tax pledge.
Right.
And that means a lot when you do that. So yeah. He's really grown that organization.
Hope we get a chance to have him back on again, as I mentioned to him, as we get closer and closer to another election and we dive into what I'm sure will be a very crazy election year. Speaking of people who wield a lot of power in their organization, our buddy Brian Akers from Akers HVAC is joining us in the studio now. Great to see you, my friend. How's it going?
It's going well, and that was quite an introduction.
Does wield the power.
Yes, that's right. So, obviously, big temperature changes here recently. Mm-hmm. It was last week on Sunday on Veterans. Veterans Day was Monday, but we celebrated in Florissant. The whole radio station was out at the parade and the Veterans Day ceremony. Chris and I were honored to mm-hmm. host that again this year in Florissant. And my kids were with us in the parade. I didn't even put their coats on them. Oh. I had long sleeves on, but I was warm. Yeah, it was in the 70s.
It was glorious.
And it was glorious. It was 70s and sunny. And then on Monday, it was snowing quite a bit.
Inch and a half.
I'm sure your phone was ringing that day as everybody was jamming on their furnaces for probably really, I mean, we've had the furnaces have been turned on this year before that, but really put to the test as temperatures went sub-freezing this week. If anybody's having problems or anybody, just some basic advice for people who are, you know, running their furnace real hard for the first time now this week.
Yeah, and as always, the first rule of thumb is check your air filter.
Check your air filter.
Change it. Mm-hmm. I sound kind of ridiculous, or at least I feel like I'm ridiculous repeating that over and over again.
I don't think so. I think it's something people forget about. Yeah, and you need to remind them.
We're astonished on a weekly basis when we go in and service a customer's house.
Is that the first thing you guys do is go down and look at that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it looks like, you know, someone's cat got stuck in the ductwork and you pull the filter out.
The
and
whole
it's like,
cat is in there.
Here's Kitty. It can be pretty bad sometimes. And it's not that we're being judgmental, but that definitely
sure
keeps the air from being able to flow through the system.
Well, I admitted the one time that you were in here a few months ago, I was a once a quarter guy changing my filter every quarter, and then we got a new dog, our now almost 2 year old chocolate lab, and I didn't realize until after talking to you that once a quarter wasn't cutting it anymore
right.
with her because of the dog hair and the shedding and all that. And now I change it more like every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's pretty dirty every six weeks. So.
And during air conditioning mode, that'll probably translate into about $20 to $30 a month that you're saving on
That's
your
amazing.
Utility bill
yeah.
because you're keeping your air filter cleaned out. Other big problems is that, you know, now that all electronics are computer-based, including furnaces and air conditioners. They've got printed circuit boards. There's sensitivity there that didn't used to be there in the old-school equipment. And, you know, simple things like cleaning out the burn chamber, keeping the flame sensor clean. The smallest amount of residue on a flame sensor will keep it from sensing the flame, and someone's mm-hmm. furnace will kick on. The flame will show up for about 3 seconds, 4 seconds, and then it's gone. That's a dirty flame sensor. And those are the type of things that, you know, can just pop up on you. And you know, we get calls on a regular basis that, hey, my furnace is lighting, but it's only lighting for a few seconds, and then it's off. Well, we know right then and there what's going on.
Right.
So, you know, that's the type of maintenance work that we do. When we go and do a routine cleaning, we're cleaning the flame sensor. We're vacuuming out the furnace. Checking all the electrical components, making sure that it's all ready to go and keep firing, especially in
right.
this negative.
right.
It feels like negative temperatures,
I know.
But sub-freezing temperatures.
I know. Anyway. And then it's supposed to go back up, at least to get back up into the 50s here coming up in a couple weeks. Is that is it bad for the system? Is it when you're bouncing back and forth so much, or are they built to do that and it's not a big deal?
It's not a big deal. I mean, furnaces are a different animal than air conditioners. They mm-hmm. run year round, and a lot of people don't realize that the furnace is a major part of the air conditioning system as well.
Because it's the blower.
It's the blower, yeah. And it's the printed circuit board that kind of communicates to the AC to kick on and all that. But, you know, furnaces kind of have one speed typically, on or off.
Right.
You might have a furnace that's got a two-stage gas valve, so it's either 60% open or 100% open. But typically a furnace, it's on or it's off. With air conditioning, it's a little bit more difficult during hotter weather because they run longer, the pressures are higher because temperature equals pressure in a refrigeration system. So it's harder on air conditioners when it's hotter than it is on furnaces when it's cold. They just run longer.
Right. Right. Chris, you've been bragging all summer about your air conditioner.
Yeah.
Installed by Eggers. What's it been like with the furnace turned on?
Well, the furnace has been, we did have a slight problem, but Brian came out and they fixed it immediately.
That's what
and
they do.
So, you know how it is when you don't have your heat on, it's like, whoa, but they were very responsive and in came out. And especially when we were talking about the air conditioner, I mean, it was like on 80 and I was cold. And it was just amazing how the humidifier thing comes on and takes the humidity out of the air. And we also did save on our air conditioning. I thought when Brian was giving the initial estimates of like what you could save, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But
Mr. Sales
Becky, Becky was saying that we literally did save on that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Talk about we're almost out of time, but
and it was a small problem. I don't want to think it was major. With
They fixed it. That's
what counts.
That's right. Wiring in the house.
Before we let you go. Mobile showroom, anybody who is thinking, obviously you can help people if they have an older furnace that they just need fixed, you can take care of that.
Sure.
But if they're in the market for a new system, to me, the mobile showroom aspect is what really sets you apart from everybody else, that people can touch, feel, hear the whole thing. Before they make any decision, and they don't even have to go anywhere. You bring it all right to their house. Talk about the mobile showroom.
Yeah, it's been a big deal for a lot of folks. I mean, I've gone out with the mobile showroom, and a customer may be in the market for just an air conditioner, and the next thing you know, they're buying a full system because they can see the difference that it makes. They can feel it. And then we talk about the numbers of, you know, what kind of efficiency are you going to expect? And a lot of people kind of wear their super old equipment as a badge of honor. Like, can you believe how long this stuff has lasted?
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
this thing's been running for 45 years.
It's awesome, except for the fact that you're literally paying for new equipment in the increased utility bills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't get all the comfort aspects that you get out of new equipment. So that's been huge. When people see the equipment, they hear it. And then they look at the numbers of energy saved.
Or they don't hear it.
Right, yeah, good point.
And I've got a customer that we had put new equipment in for, and she regularly sends me texts and sometimes Facebook messages on, you know, I'm down $140 from a year ago this month. And, you know, just is constantly talking about how much energy she's saving. And so, I mean, it's happening. It's not fluff, you know,
it's real numbers.
Yeah, and I try to be conservative when I talk to people about what I think their energy savings are going to be because I don't want to blow it up. And usually it's pleasantly surprised when people say, yeah, actually I saved 60% on my cooling.
And what really to me shows your dedication to making sure the deal is right for your customer is that you could have built that mobile showroom and only put the premium high-dollar systems in there and showed up and said, here's your options, but you've got every level. If somebody wants to go basic, they can operate. It's not like you just built that thing so you could try to sell the most expensive system to everybody.
Yeah, I think for sure. And I
really
mean,
really cool.
You're limited on space in a truck,
right.
So I can't put every model that manufacturer makes, but there is a representation all the way from the standard efficiency entry level all the way up the scale.
Yep. Tell people how they can learn more about Eggers HVAC, social media, website, telephone numbers, all that stuff.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. It's the Eggers in Missouri, not the Eggers in Illinois. And we're also at calleggers.com. And our office is 636-681 1976.
Brian Eggers, callagers.com. If you are having any issues with your furnace, callagers.com. Go there and he will help you out. Have them bring out that mobile showroom, park it in your driveway, and you will be amazed. Thanks for my friend. Thanks for everything you do for this show, and thanks for coming down today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You bet. Got to take a quick break. When we get back, the Weird News Challenge with our friend Trish Gazelle. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. You can't start until he hits the note, Carl.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That reminds me of Chevy Chase. No, no, no.
There it is.
What's that?
Caddyshack.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. That is the voice of Trish Gazelle from 102.5 St. Louis's Christmas Station.
It's official.
We're going to play the Weird News Challenge in just a second, and Trish is very busy today, so we got to get into the game. But before we do, it is official. You guys are playing Christmas music.
Yep. 24-7. 24-7. It's day three. And, right. I'm good now.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah. Day three.
It's only 27 hours.
Yeah.
I love Christmas music.
See, it feels like 3 days already.
I love Christmas music until Christmas Day, and then I'm done with it.
Yeah, and we're done at midnight on Christmas night.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So get your Christmas music fixed from now until Christmas on St. Louis's Christmas Station, 102.5. Skip Weber today, so an opportunity maybe to gain some ground on him. Chris Arps and Trish Gazelle are both tied for second place all time with 11 wins apiece.
That's important. Now watch Carl win.
Yeah, Carl.
Yay.
Yep, Carl is does not have nearly as many games under his belt. He's got three wins.
Three wins out of five.
So there you go.
I'll rub it in, Carl.
That's 60%, by the way.
We actually got a chance to play the Weird News Challenge on the Dave Glover Show earlier this week. It was exhibition. Did not count.
It was an exhibition game.
Who did win? Did
Bo, just out of curiosity.
No, not
Bo.
Rachel.
Bo won, didn't he?
Did Bo win?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, Bo did win. He won in the tiebreaker. He won in the tiebreaker. That is exactly right. Bo Matthews won in the tiebreaker. So that was an exhibition, though. That game did not count on the official scoreboard, but this one does.
Let's do it.
Before we get started, test your buzzers. Chris yes.
Bloop.
And Carl.
Carl.
All right. Here we go. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode 59. Next week is episode 60.
City.
Another milestone. That is right for America's favorite game show.
All right, let's do it.
Four questions. The fourth question has multiple points, and then we have a tiebreaker.
I don't do well in those.
Question number one.
Or any.
Yes.
Disney launched their new streaming service this week. What is it called?
Bloop.
Carl.
Trish?
Disney Plus.
That is correct.
Yes.
I should have done this already.
Yeah. Thank you,
Carl. Chris,
You didn't know what he was going to ask.
See? Right. Either did you.
That's why I had to wait.
We both looked at each other like.
Yeah, it was all about buzzer speed. That was all about buzzer speed. All right. Question number two. According to an interview with an industrial design expert, when you put your silverware in the dishwasher, should the silverware be pointing up or down?
Carl.
Yes.
Up.
That is incorrect.
Bloop. Down.
That is correct.
I was going to say, doesn't my...
no, doesn't.
Doesn't my bloop, my second
that is
bloop
actually
after
good
his
to know.
Count?
Well, good. Because now
bloop after he
my
misses.
Wife has been doing it wrong.
You got it. You put
she
it,
does it up.
Mm-hmm.
You point
do
them down
it
because it is... safer when you go to reach down and take them out,
uh-huh.
And it is more hygienic because of the way the water goes through the system. It cleans them out better.
Good to know.
And you're
down.
Actually informative today.
By their stuff.
Right. All right, here we go. Let's see. The fourth question has one,
well,
two, three,
I'm
four,
out.
Six. No, because the fourth question has six possible points, so it'll all come down to that. Question number three. People Magazine revealed that...
Son of a...
John Legend.
That is correct.
Yes! Oh.
I knew that. I've
sexiest man alive.
Yeah. This is how when Trish started this game.
Yeah.
She went on a win streak. She won the first six times that she played, and this is how she did it. Like by buzzing in before the question was even
done. Your questions are really easy this week, though.
Well, hey, man.
And I was watching The Voice when Blake like passed on the torch to John Legend because Blake was Sexiest Man Alive last year, so that's why you know that.
So People Magazine just
watches The Voice. All right, here we go. Trish has a 3-0 lead going into the last question.
Oh, son of a...
But there are 6 possible points in this final question, so you guys can still win. According to a new survey, what are the 6 conversation topics most likely to start a fight at Thanksgiving? Okay.
Politics.
That is correct. That's 1.
At Thanksgiving. Start a fight at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1.
Religion.
That's is not
be.
1.
Oh. What? Oh. Religion's not on there?
Nope. When do you do 2 bonus buzz in?
Carl.
Yes.
Family matters.
Family issues is number 1.
But wait, I get a point for that one,
you
right?
You got a point, yeah. Okay. Now, so you have 4. Carl has 1, okay. And there are still 1, 2, 3, 4 left, so Carl could still tie or win.
Okay. Can you repeat the full question?
I'll be happy
You're
to.
You're stalling.
According to a new survey, what are the 6 conversation topics most likely to start a fight at Thanksgiving dinner?
Sports.
That is incorrect.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That was the one I was going to say.
There's still 4. You could tie it if you clean them all up. Do you want to try something?
I need you to repeat the question.
Sure. According to a new survey, what are the 6
conversation
topics most likely to start a fight at Thanksgiving dinner? Family issues and politics are already off the table.
Sex?
No. That's, what? Who's talking about sex at Thanksgiving dinner?
Hey, Grandma, you still getting it on?
Trish Gazelle has 1.
Yes.
Wow, you made that all abrupt.
Here's the other ones. So the other it's family issues was 1. Yeah. Politics was 2. Yeah. Money, 3.
Sex?
Guest behavior. The
people.
That's good.
The food? Drinking at the dinner. And the food.
See, I consider all of those 5 family matters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that one, Carl.
All right, if there was a tiebreaker, it would have been this. According to a recent poll, what percentage of Americans say they would be fine with a Thanksgiving dinner that didn't include turkey?
Oh.
Trish, go first. What is the, according to a recent poll, what percentage of Americans say they would be fine with a Thanksgiving dinner that didn't include turkey?
30.
Okay.
I'm going to say 49.0.
Go ahead. All right. I meant Chris. You're right.
49.9.
49.9.
I was going to say 27. I was going to say that at the beginning, though.
64%.
What?
Yeah.
You have to have turkey.
I win all the tiebreakers.
And Chris would have won the tiebreaker.
Here, you get
my third tiebreaker in a row.
So I am now leading Chris Arps in the Weird News Challenge. That's the headline.
That is the headline. You now have 12 wins. Chris Arps still has 11.
Yes.
Skip Weber has 20. Thank you so much, Trish.
Thank you, guys.
We have 10 more minutes. Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
Besides me winning and now being ahead of Chris Arps.
When you get Pop-Tart questions.
Christmas music, if you want to stream it, radio.com. That's how you can get all these stations, including 97.1 or KZK. There
you go. How many versions of Rudolph the Red News Reindeer play?
20 million.
Red News.
Now, 20 million.
Are there new Christmas songs this year?
Yeah.
I know Jonas Brothers have a new Christmas song.
We're playing that. Yeah, that's the newest one we're playing. We are playing the old version of Baby It's Cold Outside.
Not
and
the woke version?
There is a new version, with John Legend.
John Legend.
New
Kelly Sexiest Man Alive.
You said new virgin.
Well,
that's a 24.
The Sexiest Man Alive has a new version of...
I haven't seen that one yet. It doesn't mean we're not playing it. I can't see every song, but
gotcha.
Aren't you the music director? Don't you know these things?
Oh, Carl, please. I just won this game.
Spot,
let me
right?
have something.
No kidding.
But if like when new people release music, like if Katy Perry.
Yeah,
Kelly
probably.
Clarkson.
We
but Kelly Clarkson's got her whole
she's
Christmas
got really album. Popular ones, Wrapped in Red, Underneath the Tree.
That's
and
a
those
great
are
song.
Those are pretty big.
Trish, talk a little bit about we had the former
she
program director
like
on
two
about
minutes.
That.
No, and, she's got 3.
Well, he was talking about how profitable playing all Christmas music is, and then the station was 1.
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
for
it is.
The month
that,
of December.
That
when
shocked
we had,
me.
We had Marty on last year talking about this. And
if, you know, Christmas is huge because businesses want to have it on.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So when, you know, you put it on first, they're going to turn you on and leave you on.
Yep.
So it is very big season for us.
I've already heard it in multiple stores, the Christmas
it's
music
huge.
Playing. Yep.
It's
somebody,
huge.
Whoever came up with that's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who first said, we're going to play Christmas music for
for a month straight, and people looked at him like,
"They love it."
Are you serious?
Yeah. That'll never work. Originally, it was a stunting thing. Yeah. If it's changed, if a station was about to change formats, they would play Christmas music.
I've been a part of those. Been a part of those.
How many times?
And there's been a couple. Just talking about stunting. Wasn't there one that played
"Welcome to the Jungle"?
Yeah, welcome to the. Who was that?
That was The Rock on this frequency.
On this station. Yeah. Welcome to the Jungle. 24/7.
It's because that was Mark McGuire's song.
Yep. We also did The Wheel of Music.
The Jack.
We also did The Wheel of Music.
The Jack. I don't remember that.
That was on 104?
I think so. Yeah.
It was on 104. Yeah. It was The Wheel of Music. You didn't know what was going to play, and you heard a little thing that goes tick, 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 tick.
So for like a month, it was The Wheel of Music, and it was What's the New Format Going to Be? And so we would play a country song, we would play a rock song.
So no one had any idea.
Yeah. And then what is the wheel going
to
land on?
That's fun.
And it landed on Red, which was
jazz
standards.
Yeah,
it was.
Yep. You better go. All
right, get out of here.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah, hopefully, Trish and Skip will be back next week for another edition of the Weird News Challenge.
Buzzer speed.
Hey, speaking of, it was all about buzzer speed. Hey, that is a fact.
I would have had a clean sweep.
Speaking of big things, did anybody see the meteor this week?
My wife did.
I saw it. I saw it too.
Because it was out west, right?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it. You could see it everywhere, but the further west you were, like Dave felt it. Glover,
it shook alarms and stuff.
We just saw it.
And the amazing thing about that to me, something that could make all of that brilliance and all of that light was the size of a basketball.
Yeah.
seriously, it wasn't close.
That just blows my mind.
A lot of people thought it hit the Earth. A lot of people thought it hit like St. Charles, but it didn't. It was nowhere near us.
The size of a basketball did all of that.
Yeah, and it just burned up in the atmosphere. That's all.
It's a meteor shower.
Yeah.
It's still going on.
Super cool, though. It was super cool to see that. So we were driving and... Mm-hmm.
Facing west?
It lit up, and I said... my wife was sitting next to me, and I was like, "Is this thunder snow?" Because it was Monday,
right? Right.
Yeah. And is there lightning in a snowstorm?
But
it wasn't even snowing anymore, and the clouds were pretty much gone. And then she thought a transformer blew up, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I bet you." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Yep, I'm sure that's what it was." And then about an hour later, we're back at home, and she's on the Facebook, and she's like, "I think we saw a meteor." Yeah.
The Science Center had a nice shot of it. And then St. Louis Magazine, they're the ones that printed out the one. Somebody got a shot from Illinois, and it's in the arches in the background. They must have had a really powerful camera because it was in St. Charles, the brightest.
Yeah, but that arch camera is really cool.
From Illinois, I guess it's the Casino Queen, took a shot, and you could see it, and it looked really pretty.
Yeah. So it was just seen in our... general vicinity?
No,
was it
different
in other
spots
parts of the country?
It's because of the snowstorm that the snow had ended, that the sky was bright enough that we could see it. Because I read in a scientific magazine the best spots to see it in each state, and St. Louis, coincidentally, was because the perfect storm had just ended, we got an amazing view because the sky was clear.
Okay. And people out west, it like literally shook their house. Mm. Yeah, Dave said that he thought Phoebe, his daughter, fell down or fell off the bed or something upstairs because that's how much it made a noise and shook the house.
I've seen, my wife claims she has never seen a shooting star before.
Really?
I'm like, come on, Becky. She swears she's never seen one.
I probably see one a year.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Said she's never seen one.
Does she not like go out into the beautiful open?
Did she see the meteor?
No.
Oh.
Just on social media.
Does she go outside a lot? Like summertime, do you take her out for picnics and stuff?
How about we go outside sometimes?
I didn't want it to get out that I keep her in a basement. But then,
you did it.
Yeah. But yeah, never have.
Elton John coming back to St. Louis.
Okay.
I thought he retired and did a farewell tour.
They're extending.
It's another one?
Extending.
Three-year tour.
They're extending the farewell tour.
Farewell, Yellow Brick Road. But he was already here.
Yeah.
And so all these people that paid a whole bunch of money to go see him for the final time now either have to reconcile the fact that they didn't see him the final time he's in St. Louis,
or
spend the money to do it again.
Uh-huh.
But my 16-year-old wants to go. She and her friends are like, let's go see Elton John.
You should take her.
He is an immensely talented man.
Yes, he is.
He's one of those stars that everything that they write is a hit, And then he crossed over to Broadway and wrote, you know, the score for that and won a Tony or whatever. He's very, very talented.
Lion King is out again this year.
Yeah, yeah. We mentioned Disney Plus in the game there. Did you do you have Disney Plus?
I do have Disney Plus.
So do I.
And what was the first thing you watched?
Jake and the Neverland Pirates.
Really?
Because it was my, we were watching it with my 2-year-old.
With the little one.
Yes. And they had taken, Disney had taken all of their shows off on demand. So we were like a week where we couldn't watch Jake and the Neverland Pirates, and it was and we were trying to watch bootleg versions off of YouTube for a week,
or some guy in the background commenting on it.
Yeah, yeah, it was somebody with a tripod pointed at their television recording Jake
now,
and the Neverland
Pirates.
You see
this one, Captain Hook is where got his hook on his left hand.
Exactly, right, right. If you had any, did you have any issues with it? I know that there were some people complaining.
Yes.
I didn't. We didn't have any problems.
Well. Our smart TV is from 2015, and it's a Samsung. And they, first of all, they weren't going to have them on Samsungs. But then at the beginning of November, they said, Samsung TVs will have Disney Plus. Mm. But they have to be newer than 2017.
Oh.
So what you can do, you can either screen mirror it from, I have it on my phone, and we have it on the tablet, or we can just watch it. Because the best thing about Disney Plus...
Could you plug a Roku into it or something?
Yes, you can. Or Amazon Chrome, Chromebook, or not whatever
have,
it's called.
We have Rokus everywhere.
Well, yeah,
that's
Roku will work also. Or you can plug it into your laptop. The best thing about Disney Plus, you can have it on 10 different devices with the same login and 4 of them at the same time.
Are you spokesman, paid spokesman?
No, I just, I had to find out about this because it wouldn't work.
Like, seriously, for a person who, if you're, like Carl, if you're a Star Wars guy and a Marvel movie guy and a Simpsons, I mean, like, it's
Simpsons.
Got everything.
No, but you know what? If you're a Marvel guy and you want to see Ant-Man and Wasp, Ant-Man and Wasp is currently not on there.
Right, because it's on Netflix.
They're parsing them out. Well, they're waiting for a lot of the stuff to come back. Because, like, I think Last Jedi is on Stars right now, so they're waiting for that to run out.
Right. But still.
They have everything but that.
The library on Disney Plus is immense.
Yeah. And there's even a Christmas movie out there. The Anna Kendrick movie, Noel, where she plays Santa's daughter. And so my wife's like, oh, there's Christmas movies on here. I don't have to watch Hallmark. She was done watching Hallmark channels. So I said, hey, so give up Hallmark for a little bit. I come home after the hockey game that night. Lifetime Christmas movies are on.
There you go.
And I'm, oh, come on.
One other quick story I wanted to mention was Adam Wainwright has re-signed another one-year deal with the Cardinals. So Adam Wainwright going to be around for one more year.
Hope his arm holds up.
Yeah. And Ozuna has opted not to sign with the Cardinals, going to be a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't blame those athletes anymore for doing that. I mean, they make so much money in the free agent market. It's
St. Louis is a special town, though, for sports.
Yeah, well, I mean, just because he's a free agent doesn't mean they won't get him back.
True.
It just means he wants to field other offers. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Weekend Report. If you missed anything, Virginia Cruda in the first hour, Grover Norquist a little bit earlier, the Weird News Challenge, download the Radio.com app on your phone or tablet. It is free, and you can download our podcast for free. You can stream the station or use the Rewind feature for my partner, Chris Arps, for our producer, Carl Middleman. I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to The Weekend Report. We'll see you right back here next week on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.